I'm so pleased to introduce my guest to you today, Terry Miller. When I tell you about our relationship, keep in mind I practiced obstetrics and gynecology for 20 years. When my nurse, Rhonda, told me that she was quitting, I hired Terry. I told her I was not hiring a nurse, I was hiring a ministry partner. We first got to know each other in a Friday morning Bible study that we did at the clinic together. We have prayed together. We have cried together. We have been up to our elbows in blood together, both during the day as well as in the middle of the night. We have seen each other at our very best and our very worst, and we have also traveled to the other side of the globe together. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." We have certainly been to the ends of the earth. After two trips to China, God brought China to our town. Now, Terry has this great big old Chinese family. So welcome, my dear sister in Christ, Terry Miller. Welcome.
Thank you.
So will you tell us how you first got involved in ministering to the Chinese students here in our town?
Well, we found out that they were here, and we were able to send emails to some of them, and they responded. And Dale and I, my husband, wanted to invite them to our home. And so we planned this nice meal and sent out these emails, and they responded and said they would be there. And we prepared dinner, an American traditional dinner of hot dogs and hamburgers for 20 students. Three showed up. So we had a lot of hot dogs and hamburgers for leftover. But the following Saturday, we said we wanted to do it again. And we had 8 students that showed up. And God just continued increasing our territory until, you know, we have numerous amounts of students that have lived with us. We've gone from individual Bible studies to Sunday school classes. We still have numerous of one-on-one Bible studies, and God has just continued to bless and increase.
When we first went to China, we participated in something called English Corner. Mm-hmm. And you have established an English Corner here in Russellville. Can you tell us what that's like there and what that's like here and how you use that to reach the students?
Well, when we were in China, every Thursday night, they had English Corner, and that's where the Chinese students in the English department got together and practiced their English. And it was just like God said, this is what you can do in America. And so we started that, and we started with maybe 6 or 8 Chinese students coming. We'd play games with them and help them practice their English if they had questions about their vocabulary. And it was just a way of introducing God to them, because we would have them read from the Bible. And so we were doing it every other week. But after a while, the students got confused as to, is it this week or is it next week? So we said, it's every week. And it's been every week since the fall semester of 2006.
And how many do you typically have now that show up each week?
Around 35.
Wow. And it's a fun time. I've been before, and it is not just a time to read the Bible. It's really a blast.
Yeah, we have several American students that help us, and we do object lessons to help them understand who God is to us. Because they don't understand the churchy words or the religious words. They understand things like peace and faith and companionship. And so those are the object lessons that we use to help reinforce who God is to us.
And it's also a great benefit for them to fill a need culturally.
Yes.
They come here and they don't speak the language very well, and they lose their cultural connections. And it's a place for them to connect with each other and to have that need met.
Yes. It opens doors of service. We have been able to supply many of these students with furniture, beds to sleep on when they were sleeping on the floor. I remember 2 young girls. They got an apartment. They had absolutely nothing. And I went out and I was like, oh, yes, I get to help. And I went out and I bought measuring cups and measuring spoons and all these things that I thought an American home needed. And about 2 weeks after we had gotten them established in the apartment, We went over there. They wanted to cook for us. Well, here are all these measuring spoons and measuring cups and all these different American utensils never been used. And I'm like, do y'all not need these? And they're like, what are they? We don't use them. And it was an eye-opener for me that what they need is not what I can supply, but what they need is God, and I can help supply that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's neat. Well, now, one of the scariest things that I know you've done is you have taught several of these students to drive.
That's not scary. I am a good driver.
Yes, but you've had some incidents with the students, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So most of them that come here do not have a driver's license, correct?
Most of them do not. Now, as the ages are changing, some of them do. They have a Chinese license, which, you know, driving in China is totally different than driving in America. So, yes, we've had opportunities to teach them. I can remember one young girl I was teaching, and I was teaching her to back up. And we were in a parking lot, and at the edge of the parking lot was like a ditch. And I was teaching her to back up and pull forward and back up and pull forward. And about that time, Dale was meeting us, and we were all going to go to dinner. And she saw Dale, and she got so excited. Look, there's Dale. And instead of pressing on the brakes, she pressed on the accelerator. And my car flew over the ditch and sat on the ditch.
Oh, no.
Crossing over the ditch. So we had to get a tow truck to get the truck out or the car out. So I was like, it's okay. You know, it's just a car.
Was she upset?
Oh, very, very upset.
So what a beautiful opportunity to show grace mercy and understanding.
Yeah. And that's what I told her. I said, it's okay. It's just a car. You know, nobody is hurt. I said, it's just like us when God says, it's okay. Let's get up and do it again. So I said, let's get in the car and let's do it again.
And that's really what you do, I think, with these students is you come along beside them, you do life together, and you use everything as a teaching opportunity. Everything is an object lesson.
Yeah. I can remember some of the students that have lived with us and one young girl. Oh, my gosh, she was so hard-headed. Oh, so hard-headed. But we got up one Saturday morning, and she said, let's make breakfast. And I said, okay, what do you want? And she said, I want some eggs. And I said, okay. So we put some eggs in the frying pan, and she sat there, and she looked at the eggs, and she says, oh, poor little egg. You sacrificed your life just so I could have breakfast. And I said, what does that remind you of? And she looked at me, and she says, I know, you're God. And I said, exactly. I said, because our God gave his only son for you, just like this hen gave her little chick for you to have breakfast. But God gave you something better than just breakfast. He gives you eternal life. That young girl, after being here for 4 years, became a believer.
Over a pan of scrambled eggs.
I mean, it is just every day. I mean, you can look at so many things and you can show them God. And that's one of my prayers for them every day, is that they not only see God with their heart, but literally see him with their eyes, because that's what it takes for them, because they have to have, some of them need something that's tangible. And once they see that, it's like true vision, true seeing who God is. The eyes of their heart is truly open.
That's really neat. So what have you learned about sharing the gospel with the Chinese?
Oh, my gosh. A challenge. But God says, he's the one. He says, Terry, you and Dale and all these other people, you share the gospel. My spirit is there to do the convicting. And then it's up to me and them. It's not up to you. And that's been hard for me, because I have fallen so in love with these students. It's like I tell them, if I could make you become a believer, I would. In a heartbeat. But it's not my place. My place is to love you and to share. And I came across a scripture, and it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And it says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbeliever, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as his servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. And I remember when we were in China one time, there was a young student that you had been sharing the gospel with, and you really had a heart for this particular student. And, you know, I think when we go on these foreign mission trips, you know, we're all geared up and we think we're going to go over there and we're going to lead all these people to Christ. And China is a difficult soil to till. It's not a ripe harvest, although many, many people are coming to Christ there. It's still a difficult soil to till. Yes. And I remember this one particular student that you had bonded with was taken off to go on a bicycle ride, and he was not going to be back until after we had left to come home. And you were heartbroken. You were just weeping and heartbroken. And I remember giving you the verse that said, "One waters, one plants, but it is God that reaps the harvest. He is the only one who's able to make that seed grow."
Exactly.
And I think that's an important lesson for all of us.
Oh, yeah. Because, like I say, if it was in my time, it would be as soon as I met them. But it's in God's time.
And what is it that's so difficult for them? What is the obstacle for them?
Their heritage, their culture. I can remember, I can give an example, like one young girl, she was here for 2 years, Bible studies, she came to church, and she knew it in her head. And I asked her one day, we were having dinner before she left, and I asked her, I said, "What has kept you from becoming a believer, giving your heart to God?" And she says, "Mom," she said, "if I become a believer, I will, when I die, I'll go to heaven. But my grandparents, they died and they're in hell. And I want to see my grandparents." And I opened the Bible and I read the verses of where the rich man said, "Please send someone to my family and tell them, don't come here." Because that's part of the torment, is never seeing your family, of the separation. She became a believer because she did not understand what hell really was. She became a believer. She went back and she has married. Her husband is a believer. People, some of the students say that our God, your God is different. Your God is a Western God. Our God is not. And I have to explain to them, our God came from the East. He didn't come from America. So in their culture, their family, it's like if you become a Christian, you will have nothing to do with us. Because like right now, Chinese New Year is coming up. And that's the time of the year where they go and worship their ancestors. And as a Christian, they can't do that. And that is very, very difficult on the family.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. That's got to be a big obstacle. Well, you mentioned them calling you mom, and I know that these kids are really your family. So I just want you to describe a typical holiday at your house.
Oh, my gosh.
I know it's fun.
Let's see. I would say in the year 2007 was the first year that we were able to have a huge Christmas. We had seven nations represented in our living room. We had 33 students there. And it's our tradition to read the Bible and read the story of Jesus' birth. And Dale reads it. And as he was walking in, he said, "We have the United Nations right here." And I said,
that.
"Yes, indeed." And it's just awesome. You know, we show them that the reason of giving gifts is because Jesus was the ultimate gift from God. Last year at Thanksgiving, well, not 2015, 2014, at Thanksgiving, we had, there was probably like about 25 students up, and it began to snow. And before anyone could get off of the mountain, it had snowed so much that, well, we had 15 that ended up spending the night and spending the next 2 days because we were snowed in. But we got out, We had played in the snow, played in the ice, snowed down the mountain, came back in and had turkey and ham and leftovers. It's just a time of truly being a family of God and sharing.
So do you eat with chopsticks or do you use a fork?
Chopsticks. I have more chopsticks than I have forks.
I remember I had Thanksgiving dinner here for the Chinese students one time, and we had probably about seven of the students, and they were impressed that I knew how to make tea, that I knew how to rinse it and pour it off and then make it steep. But we ate turkey and dressing, but we ate with chopsticks. Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. The other cool thing about that is when these kids go home, when they become believers, they're truly missionaries.
Oh, yeah. There have been so many, and my heart just gets so excited, and it's like I just can't say it fast enough, but several of them that have become believers here have gone back home, and as it says in the Bible, and their families have become believers. One young lady, I say young, she used to call me mom, and she was only 10 years younger than me. And I said, don't call me mom anymore. Please just call me sister. But she became a believer. Her young daughter who was with her here became a believer. They went home, shared with her husband and father. They were on the brink of a divorce. And he has become a believer. They are faithful in church. His parents have become believer. His brother has become a believer. It's like the whole family. And that is just like so cool. Well, it's like God's promise is coming back to us.
And I just think the rewards in heaven are going to be so great. In whatever way we have contributed to missions, I believe that generations upon generations upon generations of people who come to know Christ will be coming up to us in heaven and saying, thank you. Thank you for those that gave. Thank you for those who shared. Thank you for those who showed love in any way. And I just think there's going to be more fruit than you can even imagine right now, because you're only seeing what you know about.
Right.
How much do you not know about? And what about 100 years from now or generations and generations from now? There'll just be so much more. And it's an awesome responsibility. It's an awesome responsibility. The Lord has given you this ministry.
You know, I sit, like you said, I sit and think of things now. But to, like you said, to think about hundreds of years from now, it's like, that's so awesome. I think that God has prepared the hearts of these students that are coming here, and not only their hearts, but their families' hearts. Two of the students that live with us right now have become believers in the last year, and their parents are so in support of them. One of the young girls we baptized like 4 weeks ago, we Skyped with her family so they could be there to be a part of her baptism. And they were so supportive.
And are they believers?
No, no.
That's really neat.
But we have a chance to witness to them. I am friends with them on this special app that we have on our phones, and I'm able to share things with them, and they're receptive, you know? So I thank God for modern technology also, because
absolutely,
I can touch these people around the world.
Absolutely. And that's really neat how they're supportive and how the kids continue to come that are not believers. They still continue to participate, and they're not put off. I think so many times we are afraid of sharing our faith because we're afraid it's going to put somebody off because they don't want to hear it. But it seems like they'll come for years even though they're not believers.
Yeah. But God tells us through Solomon in Ecclesiastes, he said eternity in our heart. And they're searching for that. You know, they've searched over in China for a peace and for happiness, true happiness. You know, not just a success of making money and having a good job and having a family, but to have an inward success, true peace. And that's what they're seeking.
And that's what they're seeing.
Yeah.
I think that when they see that in you, when they see you go through a difficult season in your life, and they see a peace that you have that truly passes understanding. And that's not only true for the Chinese. That is true for everyone we come across. Mm-hmm. And my prayer has always been that I would live my life in such a way that others would want what I have.
Yeah.
And I think that's what y'all are doing with them, is you have something and they want it. They don't really know what it is. They don't really understand it, but they know they want it.
Yeah. And it's just so awesome. I want to share an example that happened on May 10th of 2015. It was Mother's Day. And we had a lot of the students come up to our house, and we had made a special dinner and lunch and played games. And it had started raining on Friday night. And it rained all night Friday, all day Saturday, Saturday night, and even Sunday. Some of the students got ready to go home around about 10 or 11 o'clock at night. It's still raining. I laid in bed when I went to bed that night, and I just felt something, the spirit in me saying, pray, pray. And you know, God says when we don't know what to say, the spirit knows. And I said, I don't know what I need to pray for. I said, I'm just praying because I feel like I need to pray. I found out the next morning that four of the girls that left our home that night got caught on a low water bridge at the end of bottom of our mountain, and their car was washed away. Our neighbor, at midnight, she's up in her kitchen, looks out the window, and sees these lights bobbing in the water. She goes and wakes her husband up, who went and got a friend, went out there, took a rope, and said, tie this around you. Don't hold on to it. Tie it around you. And they were able to rescue them. Their car, they climbed on top of their car, waiting for someone to help them. And that car eventually washed a half a mile down the creek, but yet they were saved. They had the scars from the rope burns. Wow. And that morning, that next morning, you know, I had been texting them because they always send me a text, Mom, we're home. And I had not heard anything, and I tried calling. I got no response, and I just laid there most of the night praying and crying and saying, God, I don't know what it is. But when I found out, they were all like, God was with us. Mm-hmm. One of the girls was previously a believer. And she said, I sat on the top of that car and prayed and prayed and prayed. And the other girl said, we saw God. And I said, that rope was your salvation. That rope saved you from death, just like Christ can save you from eternal death. And I said, and look at the scars. I said, that's a reminder of how much he loves you. I said, you keep those scars, wear those scars proudly. Two of those girls became believers. And I say, thank God for the rushing water and washing the car away.
Wow, that's ironic that you bring that up, because I've really been looking at a lot of verses in the last 3 days about how the water sweeps us away and we're entangled by ropes and cords. I've probably found 3 verses about that and how he rescues us. And that is the very word, he rescues. That's really powerful. And I remember reading about that. It actually was on the front page of the paper.
Yes. Yeah.
So that had to be terrifying for those kids.
It was. I mean, I still get goosebumps.
And really, their English was not even that good, correct?
Oh, yeah. Now, it was reported in the paper that they were from Japan. None of them were from Japan. It was reported that their English was not good. Their English was very good.
It is.
They were
okay.
In master's programs.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, what is the biggest culture shock, do you think, for the students when they come here?
Oh, my gosh.
I know transportation is an issue because we don't have a lot of public transportation here. But do you think it's that, or is it more the sense of community and connection? Do they think they're going to come here and be involved more in the American culture, and do you think at times they're ignored?
I think that the biggest cultural difference for them is the loss of family. Mm-hmm. Because in China, family is everything. Those kids live with their parents until they marry. Most of the time.
Even afterwards.
Right.
Often.
Exactly. So for them to come here, and some of them at the age of 17, 18, you know, they're away from their family for the very first time. They're having to make mature decisions that they've never been put into that position. So having some people come alongside them and make them feel loved, make them feel secure, that's what they need. Because that lack of family contact, I can see some of them posting things on this WeChat that we have on our phones, and they'll post things, I'm so lonely. Mm. And when I see that, I go, well, let's go do something. Come on, let's go get some coffee. Let's go shopping, you know, because they do. They feel that emptiness. But that's where I take them and do something and I say, this is God saying, I got something that's going to fill you better than coffee or shopping. Let me show you what it is.
You really have become family to these kids. And the cool thing about being a mother to this many Chinese students is I don't think you're ever going to have an empty nest.
No, no. And God continues to increase our territory. We have been blessed recently with more students from India, from Bangladesh, you know, Nepal. And it is awesome, truly awesome. Through the years, I've learned to speak Chinglish, where I listen for the Chinese accent in their English and I understand it. I truly can. But now I'm having to speak or learn to speak Hindi-ish because the Hindi language is very heavy accent. And I sit there and go, I'm sorry, I did not hear what you said. You know, and they have to repeat and repeat. And they're so kind about it.
They're very gracious people. Yeah. They are. Okay, so can you say something for us in Chinese?
My favorite phrase, the first thing I ever learned was Wa ai ni and Jesu ai ni. That is, I love you and Jesus loves you.
Beautiful.
You base that on everything. And they truly, they understand.
Say that one more time so we can hear it.
Wa ai ni, Jesus ai ni.
Wa ai ni, Jesus ai ni. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So tell me about the most unusual food that you have eaten with these kids.
Oh, sea urchin. Oh, it was so disgusting. We were in Dalian, and we had gone to, Dalian is on the coast, awesome seafood. And so we had ordered some food, and they said, oh, we want you to try this, we want you to try that. And we're like, yeah, okay, we're up for it. And they brought out this plate, and the sea urchin is like a black ball with these tentacles all around, kind of like a round porcupine. They cut it in half and opened it up. And in the center of the ball was some wasabi. And when they brought it out, one of the Chinese girls took her chopsticks and started touching the tentacles. They started moving. It was still alive.
Oh, my goodness.
So she said, now you take the wasabi and mix it with the center of the sea urchin, and that's how you eat it.
With it moving.
Uh-huh. And I looked at her like, are you serious? She said, yeah. And I'm like, okay, Terry, don't insult them. You must try it. So I took my chopsticks, took a little wasabi, which is very, very seasoned and spicy, put it with that. It was like eating spicy sand.
Ugh.
It was disgusting. And I said, thank you, but I think I need to pass on this.
So you got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah. So that's the worst.
Well, tell us how we can pray for you.
Pray for me for to continue having the strength, having wisdom. When God puts an opportunity, no matter what it is, I can remember sitting in the parking lot of Walmart talking to a young man about sex. How can I take God and use that? And any situation that comes up, that God gives me the wisdom, gives me the words, because I am not real articulate. I have a poor memory. I have my index cards with all my memory verses on there. Pray that my light will shine God, not shine me. Like it says, I don't want to be God. I want to be his servant.
Absolutely.
And pray for the students to have a receptive, a soft heart to seek that emptiness, to be filled with God.
And that's what we all need. Anything else you want to add before we close?
Oh, my gosh. I have tons of stories, but I love them all. I love them all.
It's obvious that you do. Well, I want to close with Isaiah 9:2. It says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned.
Amen.
And I think that this ministry is definitely a light. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Oh, thank you for
asking
me. And bless
your ministry.
Thank you.